Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin said in a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, the move has a strong appearance it's attempting to cover up the full extent of the relationship between President Trump and Mr. Epstein. I'm Christina Onnestad reporting for Pacifica Radio.
Good afternoon. This is the Shai Rana Show with your host, Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture and politics, and it airs every Wednesday for 1 hour at WPFWFM.org and WBAI-FM.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Zain Al-Amin with the Shai Rana Show. We have a very exciting show today. And later on, Katia will be joining me to talk about this intersection between Levantine music and poetry and African-American jazz. And we have the wonderful presence of Paul Katafago, who's a Palestinian poet, who will be talking about the events that he's doing here and his latest book of poetry. He is Exhibit A in this kind of intersection between Levantine music and poetry and African-American jazz. And also we have, today we'll be doing fundraisings because it's our fundraising week today. We'll be talking about that, but I want to start on a somber moment, and we'd be amiss and not to mark the death, the killing, and the assassination of Palestinian journalist Anas al-Sharif, which has sparked worldwide protests, including from unlikely places like Western media. And I would like to read this lengthy will and testament that he left because he was expecting. They had been threatening, as they've threatened. They've killed over 234 journalists right now without a peep from Western journalists. And today we are actually, as of yesterday, we're hearing for the first time a little bit of lip service from CNN and other journalists or other media sources about Anas's assassination. So I will here, before I start my conversation with Paul, I wanted to read this will and testament.
Brazilian nonprofit Educarte presents a night of Afro-Brazilian culture with Ile Aie percussion and dance ensemble from Liberdade Salvador, Brazil, celebrating its 50th anniversary with a return to Washington, D.C. on Friday, September 5th, 8 p.m. at the UDC Theater of the Arts at 4200 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. Their performances feature drumming, songs that tell the stories of resistance and hope, and dances inspired by the orishas and traditions of candomblé. Details about this Afro-Brazilian celebration in D.C. featuring Ile Aie at educarteinc.org, educarteinc.org, or 202-450-8541.
I'm not sure what's going on, but thank you. My hope was that Allah would extend my life so I could return with my family and loved ones to our original town of occupied Ascalon al-Majdal. But Allah's will came first, and His decree is final. I have lived through pain in all its details, tasted suffering and loss many times, yet I never once hesitated to convey the truth as it is, without distortion or falsification, so that Allah may bear witness against those who stayed silent, those who accepted our killing, those who choked our breath, and whose hearts were unmoved by the scattered remains of our children and women, doing nothing to stop the massacre that our people have faced for more than a year and a half. I entrust you with Palestine, the jewel in the crown of the Muslim world, the heartbeat of every free person in this world. I entrust you with its people, with its wronged and innocent children who never had time to dream or live in safety and peace. Their pure bodies were crushed under thousands of tons of Israeli bombs and missiles, torn apart and scattered across the walls. I urge you not to let chains silence you, nor borders restrain you. Be bridges toward the liberation of the land and its people, until the sun of dignity and freedom rises over your stolen homeland. I entrust you to take care of my family. I entrust you with my beloved daughter, Sham, the light of my eyes, whom I never got a chance to watch grow up as I have dreamed. I entrust you with my dear son, Salah, who I had wished to support and accompany through life until he grew strong enough to carry my burden and continue the mission. I entrust you with my beloved mother, whose blessed prayers brought me to where I am. I entrust you with my beloved mothers who brought me supplications where my fortress and whose light guided my path. I pray that Allah grants her strength and rewards her on my behalf with the best of rewards. I also entrust you with my lifelong companion, my beloved wife, Salah Bayan, from whom the war separated me for many long days and months. Yet she remained faithful to our bond, steadfast as the trunk of an olive tree that does not bend, patient, trusting in Allah, and carrying the responsibility in my absence with all her strength and faith. I urge you to stand by them, to be their support after Allah Almighty. If I die, I die steadfast upon my principles. I testify before Allah that I'm content with his decree, certain of meeting him, and assured that what is with Allah is better and everlasting. O Allah, accept me among the martyrs, forgive my past and future sins, and make my blood a light that illuminates the path of freedom for my people and my family. Forgive me if I have fallen short, and pray for me with mercy, for I kept my promise and never changed or betrayed it. Do not forget Gaza, and do not forget me in your sincere prayers for forgiveness and acceptance. And as Jamal al-Sharif on the he puts the date of his martyrdom. That's why we have all over the globe right now protests that raise the picture and the name of Anas al-Sharif. And of course, the U.S. government and the Israeli government are united in trying to demonize this person, and it's failing miserably as the revelations are coming out about what happened. We have dedicated, of course, every show since October 7th of 2023 to Gaza, to the beginning. We marked the beginning of the genocide. We knew it was a genocide for the first week, and we continue to report on it. And today we're taking a lighter note, of course, as we watch DC being taken over by fascists. And we have great heroes such as Harriet's Wildest Dreams confronting this travesty that's happening in our city. And it's really interesting, an incident that has gone viral is basically a young white man basically at 14th and U confronted some of the military forces that were placed there and had shouted them down, called them fascists, as which is what they are. And eventually, when they didn't respond, he threw a Subway sandwich at them. And he's become the kind of sandwich hero, as they call it. But I want to say is that that's the same corner where Stokely Carmichael, in the wake of the assassination of Martin Luther King, stood and warned every store owner that an uprising is about to happen. And every place was set on fire from that point up the 14th Street corridor, which now is one of the most gentrified neighborhoods in the country. So hopefully that's, I'd like the spark to come from us, from Black and brown people. And I'm glad that Harriet's Wildest Dreams is taking the helm of that. And I urge you to listen to their dispatches as this thing progresses. So with that, I wanted to, first of all, I see that, is it Katia has joined us?
Absolutely, Zane. We are here. And
how are you?
I'm well. How are you, friend?
I'm surviving.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we can do. You know, I've been going out to the media accountability encampment several nights, the encampment there at 400 North Capitol. And it did my heart so much good when I saw that guy throw his sandwich. I was like, and he was calling them much more than fascists. He was calling them words we cannot say exactly. On this air over and over and over again. And, you know, I mean, but this is the energy we need. He also posted another march of people through the streets. And, you know, we're going to see an uprising. And so we're so happy to have you, Zane, and really honored to have you having chronicled this genocide since October 8th, the day after, you know, when everything started to explode. You have been steadfast in your commitment to ensuring that we knew what was happening in Gaza and in the West Bank. And you were doing that even before this, long before this. But we are really humbled and to have you and your show here, because this is also the kind of information that you impart to students in your work. And so you bring it to the air. And so we're going to ask people now to pledge their support to this program, to Shaiwanana Mint NT. And the number to call is 800-222-9739. We also want to invite you to go online to WPFWFM.org. $500 to go, and that is an easy lift. And we can do this together, folks. And the work that Zane does on this show is unmatched, unparalleled. And really the only one of its kind on WPFW, and I dare say, with the exception of maybe one other throughout the Pacifica network, centering the voices of those in the Middle East, those in North Africa. So again, the number to call, 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org to get us started this afternoon. Zane?
Yes, Katia. And do we still also have a Cash App?
We absolutely do. It's $ WPFWFM, or if people are on their phones listening right now, perhaps you can text WPFWFM to 801-801. So those are all the ways that they connect. The important thing is that they stand in solidarity and they connect with this program right now to support it.
Thank you, Katia. And I just want to tell you, as programs around the country that are telling the truth are slashed left and right, we depend on you. And that's why we're not being slashed, unless you slash us.
Right.
We're a public radio station that depends on the people of the DMV area and the nation at large, because we do have people that listen through WPFW. FM.org to this nationally and internationally. So with that, I actually wanted to introduce our guest today, Paul Katafago, who's going to be doing three gigs, really, as a Palestinian poet, whose latest book, The Palestinian Freedom Now Suite, which I just finished reading yesterday, and of great interest. The other day, I just called Paul to talk for like 5 minutes about being on the show, and we ended up talking for like an hour and a half. And there's a lot of intersection between my experience, Paul's experience, and Katia's experience, especially when it comes to music and poetry. And we're going to talk about that. And also we'll touch upon mainly, so Paul dedicated about 10 poems, if I remember correctly, Paul, the two that relate to jazz at towards the end of the book. And there's a lot of, for those of you who don't know, in the history of Lebanon, when it was called the, you know, the Paris of the Middle East, actually, as Paul puts it, actually, Paris is the Lebanon, Paris is the Beirut of the West, not the other way around. In those days, every major artist, every major jazz musician that you can think of, came to Lebanon, and a lot of them played at the Baalbek, which, for those of you who don't know what Baalbek is, it's northern Lebanon, and it's Roman ruins where the columns have stood for centuries, and in front of it is like a flat area which acts as a stage, and all the greats came to Lebanon to do that. And I'll tell you a story after we talk for Paul a bit about Louis Armstrong and my father seeing Louis Armstrong for the first time in Beirut back in the 60s. Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi, Zane. How are you? Hi, Katia.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Paul, first, tell us about the three events that you'll be doing in D.C., so that we don't neglect that and get caught up in the conversation.
Oh, I appreciate that, Zane, and thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a great honor. And what you read in the beginning was so moving to me. You know, our friend Hani Al-Majun is also from originally from Ashkelon. And now Anas's nephew has taken up his mantle. And he's become a reporter, you know, a journalist.
Yeah. For those of you who are listening, Anas al-Sharif, who I just read his will, his nephew has taken over.
Yeah, and what he wrote, when you think about that, like the prescience and like just to be at the razor's edge of being aware of your mortality every day. And writing something like that, it's similar to the poet Rifat Al-Arir, who wrote, you know, the poem that became famous afterwards, you know, If I Die. But he wrote it about a year and a half before he died. You know, yeah. Like people, you know, with social media, people think he wrote it like right before he was killed. But he wrote it, you know, before, but he was always aware.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. Yeah. Well, so I'm still in New Orleans, actually in Bucktown, which is the neighborhood where Jelly Roll Morton lived about 100 years ago. And the three readings were coming into Washington, D.C. on Friday at 7 p.m. We're going to be at the Museum of the Palestinian People in DuPont Circle, 1900 18th Street Northwest. On Saturday, that's at 7 p.m. Saturday, August 16th, 3 to 5 p.m. at Sankofa Video Books and Cafe. And that's going to be a reading and discussion moderated by Professor Brian Gilmore. And it's at 2714 Georgia Avenue Northwest. And on Sunday, August 17th, 3 to 5 p.m. At the American Poetry Museum. And we're reading with the poet Carl Carter Jr., and there's going to be a jazz band. It's the Reuben Carter Jazz Set. 718 Monroe Street, number 25 in Northeast Washington.
Thanks, Paul. I wanted to start about your sort of introduction to jazz, right? What turned you on to jazz, and where were you at the time, and how did that influence your poetry?
So growing up in Queens, New York, I'm the first person in my family ever born in the West, really. And my dad was Palestinian from Jaffa. Our people are from Akka, actually, on the coast. And Jaffa is only 40 miles north of Gaza in coastal Palestine. And my mom was Lebanese Christian. And we grew up like weren't a very musical family. I knew that my dad loved opera very much. And I love my dad, but you know how you're a teenager and you want to sort of veer off, you know, from what your dad does. So a friend of mine in college was very much into both activism and jazz. And right. he turned me on to both. And the first jazz concert, and I was looking this up, the first jazz concert I ever went to in New York was Ahmed Jamal, the great piano player.
Right.
His great iconic song, Poinciana. And Ahmed Jamal played at the Baalbek Festival in 2002.
Wow. You know,
yeah. So, and he passed away, I think, about a year ago. He was like 90 years old or something. You know, one of the great piano players. But so from there, just, so I say now that the only American thing that ever made sense to me was jazz. Because right. the politics make no sense to me. So after my mom died, about 2 years after she died in 2014, I left New York and came to live in New Orleans because I said I wanted to be close to the source. And this is where, well, a lot of great music forms really began here, including funk, but principally jazz.
Right.
You know, and even in New York, as a spoken word poet, I was collaborating with musicians. But here, it's very rich with so many creative people, and music is part of the lifeblood. It's not always the easiest place to live, especially as someone who identifies as Arab.
Right.
You know, in Louisiana, right? But New Orleans has a lot of opportunities for artistic collaboration and. And you know, so I think I've become a better writer living here. But jazz has always been there. So when we were doing the book, The Palestinian Freedom Now Suite, and it's published by the Bodily Press, and the young man who really is the force behind it, Elliot Cardinal, is a free jazz musician, also a poet who studied with Ocean Vuong in Massachusetts, and he's in Amherst, my publisher. And so when I pitched that to him, I said, well, I wanted the book to be called The Palestinian Freedom Now Suite. And it's a riff off the 1960 album by the great drummer Max Roach, The Freedom Now Suite. You know, and if that iconic album cover where it's dude sitting at a lunch counter and it says, "We insist, freedom now," thing. And what I want to do, it's also not that I'm trying to do something, but artistically, identifying as Palestinian, I want people to know that like a Palestinian poet can write different styles and can be influenced by different things. And we in the diaspora are also Palestinian. And I'm also, you know, like I said, I'm half Lebanese. So even though, and you know, because you live in the diaspora as being Lebanese, that you're still Lebanese, right? And the thing about being a poet, and you know this, that in Arabic the word for poet is shaar, right? The which translates as empath, and poetry is empathetic feeling. So we feel these things, and so if I didn't have poetry, I'd either be in prison or dead, you know. So because I also want it to be not fun per se, but it's art, right? So it's not just a clinical thing where I'm trying to deal with trauma per se, or it's a psychological exercise. There's an art to it. So when we did the book, it's divided in four sections. And so someone asked, you know, Palestinian Freedom Now Suite is obviously political about Palestine. How does jazz tune into that? connect to that. And I said, well, jazz is not just a, but it's an art form of reclamation and revolution and change, you know, and a revolution, not just politically, but also in the art form. I think this is why, like, a lot of Arabs, especially Lebanese and Palestinians, who always, like, engage with the world, right, just because the way Palestine and Lebanon is situated. You know, and I was reading this about Ziad Rahbani, God rest his soul, who just died, Firouz's son. And if you listen to his album, Bema'enu, it's so jazz, you know, and he really sort of was one of the first musicians in the Levant who was very clear with his, you know, his connection to jazz. And, right. And a lot of the compositions that he produced for his mom, for Firouz, you know, like, what is it? Geran, you know, the, or Aki Frequente, right? It's very jazz, you know? And then the song Li Beirut, even though it's not per se jazz in terms of, he copped the, what is it? The,
Sketches of Spain.
Yeah. The same thing that Miles Davis had done in, where are my notes? In 19, so Miles Davis came out in 1960 with Sketches of
Spain. I was going to give a pop quiz. Actually, let's play that piece, by the way. Let's play that piece, Le Beirut. And let's see if people can recognize the correlation between Feyruz's Le Beirut. Feyruz, for those of you who don't know, half my audience knows, half my audience doesn't. That Feyruz is the greatest. I don't know what to say about her, but she's like our greatest treasure, Lebanese treasure, when it comes to singers. And she has outlived. My heart breaks for her because she has outlived her great son Ziad Rahbani. We call Feyruz us lefties. We call Feyruz our mother, and we call Ziad our Molotov cocktail. So let's listen to Le Beirut, and you could see Sketches of Spain, you know, underneath all of that.
Le Beirut, min qalbi salam. وقبل للبحر والبيوت لصخرة كأنها وجه بحار قديم هي من روح الشعب خمر هي من
so we can hear obviously Miles Davis tune underneath that. That's something that Paul brought my attention to.
Zane?
Yes, Paul.
Can I tell a funny story about Fairuz?
Of course, of course.
So you were trying to, you know, sometimes there's this code switching. You were trying, not with you, but like culturally, right? About you were trying to impart like the importance culturally of who Fairuz is, right? And we say in Arabic, mitalasal, right? To listen to Fairuz is like eating honey in the morning. Right.
Right.
And you know, I don't know if the word diva is politically correct, but she's 90 years old now. Yeah. And about what, like 2 months ago, she buried her son, which is heartbreaking. Ziad was 69 years old. And you know, so many years ago, my uncle, my mom's brother, who was a Christian brother in Beirut, brother Habib, Frère Habib Shawi, he came to visit. And so this is over 30 years ago, I guess. And so I took him to the Cloisters Museum because we lived in Queens, New York. So yeah. I took him to the Cloisters Museum in uptown Manhattan. And as we were going in, we saw like there was a big sort of scuttlebutt around and it was people taking video and it was Whitney Houston. And she was shooting a video. So my uncle asked, who is that? And so very quickly, I said, oh, that's the Fairuz of America.
Right. One thing I wanted to tell you also is that, yes, we have this intersection with jazz. So we brought in American jazz and fused it with our, and Ziad was a master of that. But also we have to recognize that all the divas and the, I don't know what you call a male diva, but all the divas Jay-Z. Jay-Z openly samples, you know, in Big Pimpin'.
Yeah.
What opens up with a section from Abdul.
I think that's, is that Sheb Khaled?
Huh?
I think that's Sheb Khaled, who or
No. Jay-Z uses.
No. I know. But the sample he used is from which musician?
From Abdul Halim Hafez in Egypt.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah. If you listen to it, it opens, and he never gave him credit. And then you have Beyoncé opening up. Who, by the way, Beyoncé. Where are you? Where are you, Miss Diva? Where are you to say one word about Gaza? You know, we should all boycott her right now. But she goes and opens up a concert with a song, you know, with one of her hits, with an Imm Kulthum interlude. And, you know, the Imm Kulthum, the great Egyptian diva, call her, the greatest, you know, there's like for us, there's Imm Kulthum, then there's Fairuz, right? So Imm Kulthum, she opens, had these long interludes before she even says a word in her song, because her songs were like an hour long, you know?
Yeah. So
she uses this long interlude with these Orientalist kind of like belly dancers, you know, exotifying, you know, the whole thing. And they, you know, she uses it again without giving credit to those. So all this to say is that modern and contemporary artists are using Arabic music all the time without credit, you know.
Totally. So, Zane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I read the poem Fairuz Takes You Home?
Yes. We'll do that in a minute, but let's go to... Cool. Katia, now we're going to do a pitch.
I've learned so much. I have on my phone this app called Who Sampled, and I was going to Big Pimpin' so I could see the name of all. It gives you all the samples. So I'll definitely be looking that up. And you're absolutely right. It is shameful, but not surprising that these people that are lauded as, you know, great artists are not saying a thing about Gaza. And but we can't look to them. We look to ourselves. That's why we look to Zain El Amin and his fantastic show, Shai Wanana. This is what's going to save us, this education, this information. And that's the only thing. And then us acting on that. So if you appreciate it, like, sorry, Zain, I need to slow down. I talk too fast. Forgive me. I really do. I had a donor say that the other day. You do better if you slow down. You're absolutely. His name is Goose. Yeah, his name is Gustav. He wrote in his comments, like, I love your work, but if you slow down, you'll get more pitches. And he's absolutely right. So we want to thank Anonymous out of Herndon, Virginia. They understand. Thank you so much. So that leaves us $280 to go. And we have 24 minutes to do it, folks. We can do this together. This conversation has been so wonderful. And you already got, you helped me to get part of my show for next week together. I will be playing Sketches of Spain with Le Beirut back to back. So thank you for that, to making that connection for us. And Zain, you've always done that, though, even with the music. You know, of course, your reporting on Gaza has been amazing. But also your musical acumen and the things that you introduce, the sounds and the artists that you introduced us to over the course of your program have been nothing short of stellar. And we really appreciate it, and especially those of us that are musicologists. And Paul, you mentioned the set you're doing on Sunday at the American Poetry Museum. It's actually in honor of Reuben Jackson, who was a programmer here at WPFW and a fantastic poet in his own right, and really the embodiment of jazz and justice on a lot of levels. So it's so fitting that you're participating in that set on Sunday. So again, the number to call is 202-588-9739, or you can go online to 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org to make a connection, to be in solidarity with that which is supporting you and sustaining you right now. And Zain has been sustaining us even before October 7, 2023, but his unwavering, unapologetic, detailed coverage of what has been happening and bringing voices to the air who have been silenced, who have been marginalized during this time. Again, phenomenal, extraordinary. And this is the level of journalism we've come to expect. So it's your time to step up and show out for Zain El Amin and Shai Wanana. And of course, Paul, the incredible work that he is doing. So the number again to call, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Only $280 to go. As I said, we've been having trouble with our transmitter. We're getting that in order. But if you're still hearing us on terrestrial air, and I know our streaming is wonderful, please make that call right now that makes the difference. Everything that happens here at WPFW, you make possible. So please go to the phones, 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org on the web.
Thank you, Katia. And one of the cosmic coincidences, or one of the connections that this show magically makes is like, you know, you and Paul are a great example of that. So I invited Paul and I asked him to send me some works that inspire him in terms of music. And in a minute, we'll listen from his own work. But one of the things that came up when I contacted Katia, Paul, is that she has connections with, in the sense that there's an overlap between both of you in the sense that she's worked with, and correct me if I'm wrong, with both Simone Shaheen, who we were about to play, and Suhair Hamad, the poet, the Palestinian poet.
Yes.
You can talk a little bit about that, Katia, and then Paul can read his poem.
Well, thank you. Well, I had the privilege of interviewing Simone Shaheen at the Eswera Festival of Ganaan Music last year. And I've been a fan of his for years. So to see him in person was just incredible. And then Suhair Hamad, I used to work with, and really Sekou Sindiata, the poet, was my brother. And he would, every now and then, he wanted to put on these shows. We'd put on shows at the Apollo. And often we'd connect them to kidney donation because he was a kidney recipient. And so he would he had this one thing he used to do called What Is This Thing Called Love? And he'd invite different poets and musicians. And Suhair was one of them when she was a very young poet. And I remember meeting her. She was so wonderful. So many. I mean, there were so many poets at that time. And of course, I know, Paul, you also have history with the Nuri Rican Poets Cafe. And, you know, we worked a lot with those poets. We brought them here to D.C. and did workshops with them and all. So a lot of intersection. That's the beautiful thing about life. We're all in it together. You know what I mean? We're all in it together.
That's right.
Suhair and I shared sort of a mentor, a great friend, Steve Cannon of the Tribes, who, you know, one of the leading members of the Umbra Poets with Ishmael Reed and Ornette Coleman. Well, it's not just the Umbra Poets. They were really like the intersection of music and jazz and poetry. So Archie Shepp lived in the Lower East Side.
Yep.
The great jazz club Slugs was next door to eventually what became the New Rican Poets Cafe on East 3rd Street in the Lower East Side. So, and I have a poem about Slugs about, what's his name? Lee Morgan being shot by his wife at Slugs in 1972. It's a lot of intersections.
Yeah.
A lot of connections.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one more thing. That, you know, the Nuri Rican Poets Cafe, when Lester Bowie's younger brother, Joe Bowie, and Charles Bobo Shaw first came from BAG, they were part of the Black Artist Group in St. Louis, and Lester was already in New York, but they came to what would become the Nuri Rican Poets Cafe. It was La Mama. And the owner, Ella Jenkins mixed up with this woman, but basically they squatted there and they had sessions there. So, wow. You know, there is really this intersection of poetry and music. I mean, poetry and jazz from the very beginning there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because in Los Angeles, there was a Horace Tapscott, right? Who had that movement of
UGMA. Yep. UGMA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like now and in this capitalist world where there's like so much isolation and everything is commodified, but the connection between the word and just sound, it you know, it's so important. So,
Paul, can you read us "Fairuz Takes You Home," your poem?
Sure. You know, can I quickly, because I thought you mentioned the Baalbek Festival, so. In 1971, Ella Fitzgerald played there. In 1973, Miles Davis played there. And in 1974, Charles Mingus played there. And so can I read the poem about
Louis? Don't forget Louis played there.
Yeah. Well, can I read the poem about Charles Mingus?
That's actually the first poem I wanted you to read, which is called Epitaph.
Okay, great. It's ironic, right? Because epitaph means like ending. And epitaph was the title of his last composition.
Right.
So this is the poem, Epitaph. Charles Mingus played the Baalbek Festival in Lebanon in August 1974, 13 months after Miles Davis played there. It is a good bet that while in Lebanon, Mingus drank strong cardamom-flavored Arabic coffee and hung out with young and old Lebanese people who love jazz. Maybe in solidarity, Charles Mingus went to the refugee camps near downtown Beirut in Sabra and Shatila and visited with exiled Palestinians, some of who were poets who smoked Marlboros. And had a sense of longing Mingus could recognize in himself. 8 months after Charles Mingus played the Baalbek Festival, in April 1975, the Lebanese Civil War began. It would last 15 years, ending in 1990. Charles Mingus never returned to Lebanon. He died in Cuernavaca, Mexico, on January 5th, 1979. Yeah. But it's interesting because we mentioned when we talked on the phone the other day, Zane, these intersections, the great Lebanese-American poet Edel Adnan, was at, I believe she was at that concert, when Mingus played. And so you see Mingus appearing in a lot of her sort of surreal poems, right? Sort of metaphors for war and such. And then and Edel lived in California a long time and was friends with June Jordan. And June Jordan famously, I believe June Jordan actually was one of the few writers, I believe she visited Sabra and Shatila after the massacres.
Yes, yes
she did.
Yeah. Well, as also Jean Genet. But I think June was one of the few American writers that did that. And you know, she came back and she wrote all these poems, Moving Towards Home, where she says, I was born a Black woman and now I am Palestinian. Mm-hmm. And so it's more than solidarity, it's love. Exactly. You know, it's so. And then through June, Alice Walker became very connected, and because it's more, again, more than solidarity, it becomes family. Right. You know, for us, like, and because I'm both Lebanese and Palestinian, it's this thing, you know, we say in Arabic, you know, Zain, blood shams, you know, the cities of Damascus, you know, the Levant, or the what they call the fertile crescent.
Yeah,
and so these boundaries, and I'm obsessed with boundaries and crossing borders, you know, and they're all making, you know, the question of walls and control. It's all false, because what's true is connection.
Yeah.
So I'm a little obsessed with those little details about how did this person come to this, and how did, you know, and again, like, because Edel and just her manner was very loving and very welcoming, and but she was a great staunch, she was a comrade in the Palestinian cause, you know.
Yeah.
So can I read the Fairuz poem?
Yeah, before you read the Fairuz poem, I wanted to share something too
with Katia.
So my father, during the heyday of Beirut, when all these jazz musicians were playing Baalbek in these Roman ruins, my father was a maitre d' in the Intercontinental Hotel. And this was like a very popular, you know, hotel right on the Mediterranean coast in Beirut, overlooking the Mediterranean. And he walks in, you know, to the kitchen to get something, and he walks out, and everybody is crammed against one side of the building looking out of the window. And there's so many people that he doesn't know what they're looking at. So he walks around to the kitchen to look through a window that looks out on the same scene. And from that window, you can see a group of buildings that are huddled around a mid-rise hotel in the center, and it has a rooftop restaurant. And Louis was doing a solo on the rooftop during dinner time. Yeah, that's wow.
And wow. What a sight.
What's that, Katia?
No, I said, what a sight that must have been.
Yeah. I mean, he says he'll never forget that. He says people, it turned out, he read the news later, it turned out that these, you know, all these Lebanese are merchants and businessmen. So the hotel owner had known that Louis's party's coming, made a reservation. So he goes and advertises that morning before that dinner that Louis Armstrong is going to play at his restaurant, and people were actually renting balconies from around that building. They were so, like, when Dad looked out, he was looking out at these tall buildings where the balconies were jam packed with Lebanese looking down on Louis, and the city, which is the noisiest city in the world, was silent. Yeah.
That is a beautiful story, Zain. I just want to, if I can take one moment and just thank someone who's pledged to your show. We have $240 to go, folks, and this has been such a joyous show. Think about it. Think about the beauty that Zain and Paul have brought you this afternoon, and the joy, the sheer joy, the smile, you know, the heart that has come through. We want to thank Abigail out of Brentwood, Maryland. She says, the epitome of speaking truth to power. Grateful for this program and WPFW. join me in keeping real media alive. And I concur with her. 800-222-9739. In the next 10 minutes, won't you be the one that makes the goal for Shaiwanana? $240 to go, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org or 800-222-9739. Thanks, Zane.
Thank you, Katia. And we'll end with a reading from Paul, his poem, Fairuz Takes You Home. We'll take you home with that.
So by the way, Louis Armstrong lived, I think, the last 40 years of his life in Queens, where I was born and raised. And he lived in East Elmhurst. Wow. And he loved living there because of the diversity.
Wow. You know? Yeah.
So Fairuz Takes You Home. Yeah. Familiar music comes from the room next to the room you are in now. The music startles and soothes you. Yesterday. It is a woman's smooth and otherworldly voice. She's singing in Arabic, your mother's tongue. The singer's voice is sweet like honey in the morning. It is sweet like honey in the morning. The singer's Fairuz. She's singing a song about the moon being closer to her than her neighbor. Her voice pierces the night. You are far away from your people, far away from occupied Palestine, far away from apartheid and genocide, far away from Lebanon and Syria. You are far away from the beautiful besieged homelands of your ancestors. You are far away from the stolen sea. But Fairuz transports you there, takes you home, takes you to the ports of Yaffa and Sidon and the streets of Damascus and Beirut. Fairuz takes you away from this cold, strange place, away from your exile. Today, Fairuz takes you home. She takes you home.
Thank you, Paul. And
it's my pleasure.
We're of the same mindset. I'm going to answer you in these last few minutes with a poem of my own, How Fairuz Takes Me Home, which parallels yours exactly. That's why we both worship Fairuz. Fairuz on a snowy night. She took me from the snow-crusted 14th and Clifton to the huddled buildings of Hamad Street, to balconies brimming with life, spilling into each other the scent of saute of pine nuts and butter, Abu Adnan's domestic rants, El Hajj's ablutions that marked our hours, frustrated Romeos pretending to study while studying the coy girls across the alley, across the galaxy, coy girls pretending to clean their already spotless verandas, Nido milk powder cans dangling from Abu Musa's, down to Abu Musa's general store, fishing for groceries, vendor calls floating up and waking us up on time, in the time when none of us had a single alarm clock. My response.
Beautiful. That's the way we do it, right?
Exactly.
By the way, I met Abu Adnan, but that's another story for another day. bring your book when you come, when we meet.
I will.
Reminder. So can we quickly say the three places again?
Yeah. You have a minute to do that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're gonna get into New York mode. Katia, you speak like a New Yorker. That's a compliment. A compliment.
Go ahead, Paul.
So we're Friday, August 15th, poetry reading, 7 p.m., Museum of the Palestinian People, 1900 18th Street, Northwest. Saturday, August 16th, 3 to 5 p.m., Sankofa Video Books and Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest, D.C. Sunday, August 17th, 3 to 5 p.m., the Reuben Jackson Memorial Reading, 718 Monroe Street, number 25, Northeast.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, August 13th. Here are some headlines. Israel's military pounded Gaza City today, prior to a planned takeover. 123 people have been killed in the last day, according to Gaza's health ministry. The 24-hour death toll was the worst in a week. The health ministry also said 8 more people, including 3 children, have died of starvation and malnutrition in Gaza since yesterday. That takes the total to 235, including 106 children, since the war began. Gaza's interior ministry has accused Israel of deliberately fueling chaos and engineering starvation by preventing aid from reaching those in need. The ministry urged the international community to pressure Israel to allow agencies to safely deliver aid access across Gaza, warning that silence amounts to complicity in a policy of starvation that is claiming lives daily. In other news, last night about 30 National Guard troops were on the ground in Washington, D.C., and more are expected today. This comes after Trump on Monday seized control of D.C.'s police force and said he will deploy 800 National Guard troops into the city to fight crime, despite the fact that officials announced in January that violent crime in the city was at a 30-year low. Under the District's Home Rule Act, the president can't federalize the city police for more than 30 days without a joint resolution from Congress. And President Trump said today he would ask Congress for an extension. His plan takes advantage of the law and order themes that play well with his political base. And in making his announcement on Monday, Trump put other cities on warning.
You look at Chicago, how bad it is. You look at Los Angeles, how bad it is. Baltimore and Oakland, we don't even mention that anymore. They're so far gone.
Mayors of those cities are already speaking out at what they see is a needless and ill-conceived plan. Brandon Scott is the mayor of Baltimore, and he spoke to NBC News.
The reality is that D.C.'s violent crime is at a 30-year low. I think it's very notable that each and every one of the cities called out by the president has a black mayor. My city in Baltimore, we have the fewest amount of homicides through this date on record. That's 50 years, a 50-year low. Maybe we are too far gone from the broken right-wing policies of zero-tolerance policing and all the things that did not make our city safer for all those many years. We know that having the military there is not the way to do it.
And in more news, today, major Western leaders met online to prepare for the upcoming diplomatic summit in Alaska. WPFW's Noah Portner has more.
Ahead of Friday's Alaska summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin, Western leaders met online with Trump today. In this conference between major Western heads of state, including Ukrainian President Zelensky, America and Germany both expressed optimism. Germany has been consistently trying to steer America into a more hostile posture towards Russia, but President Trump has been unwilling to commit to fully writing off Putin. However, in a minor victory for Ukraine today, Trump stated that he would call Ukraine and Germany after the Alaska meeting and expressed interest in meeting with Putin and Zelensky together.